Join the conversation at everydaynovelist.com. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find the host at J.D. Sawyer on Minds.com, or hit him up at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 671.
Today we hear from Chris, who asks,
how do you come up with a good dystopia?
Take a utopia. Write the utopia. Every utopia is a dystopia. I'm not kidding. Every utopian project imaginable is a dystopia if you just look at it through the lens of the people who are getting fucked over by the system. A healthy civilization has built into it a series of trade-offs so that everybody can be functional. Not everybody's going to be equal, not everyone's going to be equally happy, and you're always going to get stratification and people sorting themselves to the top and the bottom, and people at the top artificially sorting their friends up the pyramid and all sorts of stuff like that. But when you make a utopia, one of the characteristics of utopias, from Thomas More, actually from Plato's Republic, through Thomas More and all the way through the modern utopian visions hatched out of the 19th century and the 20th century, is that the vision of the society trumps the needs of the people who make the society up. So every utopia is by definition a dystopia, because the aesthetics of the planned culture do not take into account the imperfections, the vicissitudes, and the inconsistencies in individual temperament between people, between classes. One person's utopia is always another person's hell. The utopian vision of... let's take the utopian vision that we've all been sort of attempting to live in the coastal cities in the United States in the last 20 years. The interconnected society with high levels of transparency and easy flow of capital and labor and all of this sort of stuff. The internet utopian vision that would equalize all people. Well, now, of course, we're starting to find the pointy edges of that. And the pointy edges of that are it highly disenfranchises anyone who's anywhere down on the IQ spectrum below really well above average. Disenfranchises and screws over people who don't live in the cities or who don't want to. The ecological component of the vision really screws over people in third world countries. There's a lot of pieces of that vision that, if it was ever perfectly implemented, life would look perfect from the coastal cities, and it would be utter misery everywhere else. And it's not because the people in the coastal cities hate everyone else. It's because there's a natural human tendency to assume that your experience is universal. And the more cosmopolitan you are, the more deeply that sense gets ingrained in you because you're used to a high level of surface diversity. Because in cosmopolitan areas, people from all sorts of ethnicities and cultures and other kinds of backgrounds are brought together and unified by commerce. They all share a commercial culture, and that disguises the differences between them. When you're in the country, when you're in small towns, or when you're in an agrarian or another kind of environment that's not highly cosmopolitan, that's balkanized in some way, it's very easy to see that people are different when you go different places, because you just have to go across town to the other neighborhood. And you get people in the other neighborhood who live a completely different way and who don't have a lot of contact culturally with you. In a cosmopolitan city, that's not the case. Everybody has a common language, even when there are ethnic or religious ghettos. So it is less easy to see the shortcomings of a utopian vision from a cosmopolitan point of view than it is from any other point of view on the planet. So the best way to formulate a really, really good dystopia is to pick a utopian vision that you find appealing, and then flip it around and tell the story of the people that are fucked over by that system. some of the best dystopias ever come this way. 1984. George Orwell was a socialist. 1984 was about a communist dystopia. Brave New World. Aldous Huxley was an upper-class Fabian socialist hedonist who wrote Brave New World, which was an upper-class Fabian socialist hedonist utopian vision. And it was all about the dystopic aspects of what was, for most of his life, his preferred worldview. Eytan Colin and Donnie Colin wrote the Unincorporated Man series. The entire idea for the Unincorporated Man was to take and create a utopia based on the principles of Hayekian economics, because Eytan is an economics guy, and to look at their preferred system and figure out how this system that was designed to prevent tyranny, this vision of economics that was designed to prevent tyranny, could become the most oppressive tyranny in the world. You want to create a really good dystopia, do not create a dystopian vision of the things you hate. Create a dystopian vision of the things you love. That will make a story that is unputdownable. Because you know all the good points, so you can pull all of the pathos possible out of that situation and you can really make your audience think. Thank you very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.